You can do it! You can do it! You can! You can! You can do it! You can do it! You can! You can! Kick and check the ball! Kick and check the ball! We want a touchdown! Run, run, run! Husky, wee, wee! Husky, run! I don't know the rest, so hop, hop, hop!
Hello, I'm here. It's gonna sound great.
Ah, take a mulligan. Get a do-over. Get your second chance.
And by God, I could cut some glass with these nips.
Who wants to hear more crazy woman?
So we're starting with pooping, right? That's where this is going to start with.
This is
Quitters Never Give Up.
Go ahead.
Repping for all of Quitters Never Give Up. Check off Christopher. Check off
Jen Pastorini.
Check off Lindsay. Check off
Hello, Drew.
Oh, the great Ed Wynn, ladies and gentlemen. I love him so much.
Because I said quitters never give up, and he said, that's all they do.
Imagine just a day where they shut the fuck up. Oh, my God.
Be amazing.
I'm definitely celebrating this day. Can we make it a month?
Please.
Hola, party people. This is Quitters Never Give Up, episode 128. Let's just start by introducing all the quitters. Let's say hello to Jennifer.
With my kid, my little Swifty in tow, and Jen joined us as well.
Hi, Jennifer.
Hello, party people.
Let's go ahead and say hello to Edwin.
Oh, and Mr. Ed. Yeah. And Mr.
Why
Ed.
Why did he say that?
Hello, I'm Mr. Just, Ed, and was... jumps out of the rafters.
Hello, Wilbur.
Let's give a shout out to Lindsay.
Oh, I'm on pins and needles, Lindsay.
Hi, Lindsay.
Hello.
And well, Drew's not here, but this is a replay.
Suck it, Drew.
Yeah. And then, of course, I'm Christopher.
Chris, don't burn my pizza.
I'll try not to burn anybody's pizza. I'll try and play some audio while we're here. Hopefully it starts working. Let's start with messages. We got a message.
Quitters, what up? It's Luke from thegildedplaylist.com. Podcast war is on, everybody, but not really. I don't know. I'm having a hard time getting super fired up about it. Maybe only because in the second rendition of the podcast war, Christopher only played the clips where people were disagreeing with his Coltrane submission, and I was the one that voted yes on it. So I bring you peace in wartime in the form of my yes vote that I gave you. Just a reminder on that. And while I've got you, I listened to all those Bean-only podcasts way back when, and they were just wild meanderings of Bean kind of all by himself. And sometimes he'd do interviews, and man, it was good times. I listened to them all, and I remember enjoying them very much. Hopefully they're still out there for collection. Keep up the show, though.
So Luke surrenders. I guess the podcast war is over. Did it ever really start? I'm not sure, but I didn't really get a lot of backup on it, but he surrendered like France. So that's the first thing.
Is he a cheese eating surrender monkey, as Groundskeeper Willie would say?
Groundskeeper Willie. You don't know Groundskeeper Willie.
Oh, no. Well, you say it the second time. I do understand. Groundskeeper Willie. Why?
From The Simpsons, the seminal TV show, The Simpsons.
The Simpsons? Okay.
The Simpsons. No. Still no? Scottish guy, red hair.
No, but keep describing it. Maybe.
He wears a kilt.
I don't watch The Simpsons.
Oh, man.
What about One-Eyed Willie?
One-Eyed Willie from The Goonies?
Nope.
No.
That's for Copperpot?
Steamboat Willie.
Okay, there we go.
Okay.
What, that's the Mickey Mouse cartoon? Now you're speaking my language. Well done.
Let's see here. And that's the only message. That's all we got. War's over. Right. Even though I feel like Luke just agreed to that song because it was my submit and he knew it, I think. I feel like he knew it. But anyhow, let's go ahead and start with the flashback that needs no introduction.
Hello and welcome to a very special flashback. Because I'm going to introduce you now.
Flashback. And now, flashback. No introduction.
Let's have a look at this.
Just play the intro.
Can I break in with a moment with?
Yeah.
You do. So.
This is the clip before we got used to the, what was it? They used a different series of clips for the vomit, right? This is like the first rough cut.
I think it was always this one.
And now a moment with Chris. Back to you.
How do you say the original vomit clip in a more concise way than that?
You just did. That was an 18-second moment that you were trying to put those words together.
Well,
the sad thing is he was right the whole time.
Yeah, I was thrown off because I was expecting the vomit to sound one way, and it sounded a completely different way. And then I was just like, where's the OG or the vomit that I remember? Where is the vomit that I grew up with? And it became sentimental and key to my upbringing. Where's that vomit?
Thanks for explaining it further.
Where's the classic vomit? We've also
the classic vomit, exactly.
I'll have some random moments to pepper in throughout the episode.
All right.
I'm looking forward to it. I've been on a roll. I think I have about 10 of them.
They're all with Chris. Sorry.
Oh, my. Yeah.
How can
she just pulls mine. Just all of mine.
You talk the most on this podcast, so you're going to have the most moments, turns out. You're the Kev Dog of the podcast.
You know, and considering the way this whole Taylor Swift thing is going, I'm glad to be the Kev Dog of this podcast. It's the only one, my only holdout. And what that's a teaser for the podcast roundup.
All right, here's the deal. We have talked for some time on and off about the drink boxing event that we're hoping to do on March the 16th. And people keep emailing us all the time. This is David King of Mexico and Ralph Garman actually boxing until one of them passes out or is killed. And we have been bringing it up from time to time. And people keep calling us going, guys, why aren't you giving more information? Where are the details? When do tickets go on sale or whatever you're going to do? How can I make plans to be there? And we've been telling you all along that we're working on stuff behind the scenes. And now I think we're at the point that it's close enough that we actually need some help from you, the K-Rock listener.
Well, here's the thing. K-Rock is cheap.
Right. Really?
Yes.
Right.
So we had planned to do this drink boxing thing. We said this is going to be great. We're going to raise some money for charity. And Dave and I will square off. It'll be great. And then Mr. Weatherby and the powers be, K-Rock said, oh, we heard you doing this thing. We're not giving you any money to do it. We're giving you no money to put on this event because we've already got all that money wrapped up in the billboards and the advertising we do for the Kevin and Bean Show.
Right.
We can't give you any money to do your drink boxing event.
So we say to them, you don't like it? You don't like the idea? Oh, no, we love the idea. Just we're not going to give you any money for it.
Just screw you. We love it, but screw you is what they say.
But, Ralph, in that meeting, didn't you suggest that they just take a tiny fraction of the cash that they're spending on the Kevin and Bean TV commercials and maybe roll that into the drink boxing budget?
I said use all that advertising budget. You just cut a slice off and give it to us for the drink boxing event. And they said, screw you.
So this is where we need to bring in the K-Rock listener.
So now we have to beg.
Yes.
Which is sad.
Oh, it's sad, but it's typical.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I know. Seriously. It's typical, but it's sad.
We came up with drink boxing. We started talking about a way to raise money for charity. Dave the King of Mexico and Ralph are going to square off. They're going to fight each other because Ralph's been trained.
Oh, hang on. Did you say Dave the King of Mexico?
Yeah. Your gayness does not define you. Your Mexicanness is what defines you.
All right, back to you. See, Dave was talking about how he was working out with the Taibo videos.
That's right.
Billy Blanks. He was training the Billy Blanks way. And he was mouthing off a little bit about his new Christmas gift, how he was rocking the Taibo. And I came in and said, you know, I've been working out with a boxing instructor just as like a sort of a cardio workout for a while now. There's a big difference between, you know, the DVDs and the actually getting into the gym and sweating a little
Dave
bit.
Dave in his room with Taibo.
Yeah, exactly. Flipping back to Veronica Mars and Billy Blanks. It's not exactly the premier workout. So that's how the whole thing come up. We put our two styles up against each other, you know, TV watcher versus gym
the
goer.
Boxer against the TV watcher.
That's right.
Did Dave mouth off that his training was every bit as effective as yours, sure. Ralph, and he could bring you down, white man? Did he say something like that?
No, he didn't really. But he got himself a real trainer.
Yeah, I got a real trainer.
You did?
Yeah.
A real trainer.
Yeah.
Coach Williams.
Brian Williams from NBC News, apparently.
Is that right? Yeah. How about that?
I heard, no.
This is the guy from The Contender.
His dad.
His dad.
Okay. Yeah, he has a gym in Long Beach, and that's where I go train. It's awesome.
Okay, but you guys have both been training toward this boxing match. Where is it going to happen? Is it going to be in the parking lot of K-Rock then?
Yes, that's probably well,
as of right now.
As of right now.
Well, here's the cop.
We're going to have no gloves. We're just going to wrap our hands in some sort of rags. Yeah, and we have no headgear. We're going to put on football helmets. And apparently we're allowed to fight one person each.
Now, we did make it complex in that we added drinking to the boxing. We kind of created the drink boxing sport. So now we need...
Because Dave and I hitting each other wasn't enough for you guys.
Right. We need to incorporate
alcohol. Now we gotta do shots. Yeah.
So now we need... So shots in between rounds. So now we need a place to hold it because K-Rock will not allow
all.
Us any money.
That's all.
We need a place that can hold a full-size boxing ring, which is 20 feet by 20 feet.
Right.
It should be able to house at least 100 people is what we're saying.
Sure.
Because how do you raise money for charity?
Really if you're making a dream, if you're making a wish list, Kevin, why not make it 1,000 people?
105?
Sure.
must have an alcohol permit that will allow us to start pouring alcohol at 6 a.m.
I'm so tired of all those boxing gym bars popping up all over Southern California.
In a perfect world, it would be in the San Fernando Valley, Los Angeles, North Orange County area.
Right.
Uh-huh. Can't go too far south into Orange County because of the restrictions with all of the celebrities that are going to show up.
Exactly.
Yeah, they're going to love it.
Now, we need concert venues, maybe a sports bar, maybe a dinner club. I don't know. I don't know. Who would do
a dinner theater. That's what we need.
That's what we need, right?
Maybe the Pirates Adventure people can put a boxing ring on their ship.
Hey, that's a good idea. Hey, let me ask you guys this. What about the, I guess I know the answer, but just, you know, for people listening who are thinking the same thing that we thought, which is what about these places like the Mayan where or the El Rey or those types of places that have the Mexican, you know, wrestling in? What about those places? Is it just too expensive? Is that why we can't go there?
The Mayan, I think, is having the Lucha Vavoom this week.
This week.
Yeah, on
this
Tuesday. Week.
But we'd have to rent it out, and it costs too much money.
Yeah, I think that's the problem.
See, that's the problem. We can't pay anything because K-Rock won't give us any money to do this.
Right.
So we can't buy a boxing ring. We can't rent a hall. We can't get a facility. I mean, there are facilities to be had.
Sure. Yeah, they're out there.
Just
we can't have them.
We don't have any money to spend because K-Rock doesn't make any money.
Right.
So you should be boxing Mr. Weatherby is what it sounds like to me.
1-800-520
pays for all.
1-800-520-1067 is the phone number if you can help us out with the drink boxing event. Again, it is March 16th because the 17th, of course, is Saturday. And, you know, St. Patrick's Day, for God's sake. So.
Yeah. Or if you can't call in right now, but you have a place, you can email lightning@krock.com. What type of place do you think we're looking for? What ultimately is the venue going to be like?
I don't know. It's hard to say. I mean, maybe somebody can rope the Mayan in. I don't know.
What about like a gymnasium or something like that? You know, like the school. I mean, it seems like that's the
but
type of thing that would be big enough.
The liquor
but can they see, that's the complicating factor is the drink part of the drink boxing.
Think a sports bar.
Maybe a sports bar.
Sports bar.
Maybe, because they
have some
like
that are big enough.
I imagine. Yeah. I imagine there. Yeah, 1-800-520-1067. And let's say good morning to Sylvester. Hi, Sylvester.
Hey, how you doing?
Good.
Yeah, you know, I want to help. I want to help these guys, you know, do the boxing thing because it's very important to me.
Okay.
Wait, what Sylvester is this that's on the line? It seems like I recognize your voice.
It's not important, you know. I'm just trying to, you know, because fighters fight.
They do that, yeah.
And these two guys, you know, they're trying to go for it.
Okay.
You know, they're trying to take their shot.
Right.
And I believe, you know, you take a shot.
Right.
You could be somebody, you know?
Uh-huh, right.
So I want to help these two guys be somebody.
Okay, how do you plan on helping us?
Well, I got a gym, you know.
You have a gym, okay.
My friend Mickey, when he died, he left it for me.
That's not...
And so I figured to come down, you know.
Sylvester...
Put on the gloves and, you know, take your best shot.
That's just
you gotta take a shot in life, you know?
Right.
Or else
but
you can't,
I think,
you know, fighters fight.
They do fight, yeah.
Look, you know, but I never asked you to stop being a woman.
Well, what are you talking about?
I'm asking you, please. Don't ask me to stop being a man.
Sylvester, Adrian's not here. She's dead, too. And all of this stuff that you're talking about just happened in a movie. It's not going to help us in real life. We can't go to some fantasy film location to do this.
Oh, you don't like my gym?
Well,
my gym stinks.
You don't have a gym.
You don't like my gym?
Sylvester.
All right, I'll fight the fight.
No.
I'll fight the fight.
No, it's
not.
Legs
are going. Everything's going. No, I'm going to get this. I'll fight the fight. Adrian! Okay.
So we're still in the throes of trying to figure out the drink boxing.
It never gets figured out, right? Spoiler alert. Sorry.
Don't spoil it. You're taking all my fun away.
Sorry. But also Polly from Rocky Dine, R.I.P.
Bum, bum,
don't get me started on that.
Okay, who wants to play a game?
Me.
As you've heard by now, the Grammys are this Sunday on CBS. Promises to be a great show, although, as usual, again this year, not a tremendous amount of K-Rock music will be represented during the show. But Red Hot Chili Peppers are going to be performing. Gnarls Barkley, of course, nominated for a bunch of Grammys. They're going to be performing. And I guess, Kevin, as the announcer of the Grammys, you are the guy bringing on the Police for the first performance of their reunion tour, right?
Ladies and gentlemen, the Police. That's going to be me. Really weird to say that after all these years. But they're also going on a tour, and we're going to give you tickets for a private rehearsal for them, as well as the Grammy tickets if you win this contest.
Wow.
So if you're a Police fan in particular, this is a fantastic prize for you to win at 1-800-520-1067. I mean, the last time the Police, Stewart and Andy and Sting played together was in 2002 when they got inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame. And a lot of people thought at that time, yeah, they're getting back together. They're definitely going to go out on a tour. And that didn't happen. Here we are 5 years later. It's finally going to happen. So if you're a Police fan, I think you'll like our new game, which we like to call I Smell Bacon.
Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Can you name the policeman? What is that smell? Oh, I smell bacon! What is that smell? Oh, I said I smell bacon! What is that smell?
I could just see him recording that. He's so excited.
Okay, Sting is on fire lately.
These are not real cops. It's all fiction-based. It's TV shows, movies, whatever.
Okay.
And it all involves policemen or a police show in some way.
So we're going to ask a question, and you're going to be asked to name either the show or the cop, depending on how the question is phrased. And then if you're right, you will go into the drawing to find out who wins tickets, and not only to see the Grammys in person Sunday, but also the Police rehearsal and press conference, which is going to be held, I think, the next day. So we'll start with Robert in West L.A. Robert, are you ready to see if you can name that bacon?
Smell bacon?
Yeah,
whatever it's called.
I'll tell you what it's called.
Oh, I smell bacon!
That's what it's called. All right, here's your question. Robert, Jack Lord played a tropical cop on this classic TV show that also gave black dudes a new nickname for the police.
5-0.
Hawaii
5-0.
Hawaii 5-0.
Boom. Right into the drawing. Nicely done.
Good job.
You win. You're in the drawing. All right. Let's move on to Doug in Redondo. Good morning, Doug.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. Thank you. You ready to play?
I hope
so. Oh, I smell bacon!
Here's your question. Over 12 years, this New York TV cop had several partners, including Bobby Simone, John Clark, and, on occasion, Officer Gruden.
Sipowicz.
Looking for a fictional TV cop in this one.
Dennis Franz.
New York TV
12
cop.
12 years he was on, Doug, giving you plenty of time to learn his name.
Need an answer.
Oh, we were looking for Detective Andy Sipowicz from TV's NYPD Blue. Sorry about that, Doug.
I was blanking, too. I couldn't think of it.
All right. Let's move along to Maria in Covina. Good morning, Maria.
Good morning.
Did you know that last one?
No, I didn't.
No. All right. Well, you may have a harder time with this one, depending on your age. But welcome to...
Oh, I smell bacon!
Okay. Your question is, Johnny Depp got his big break in this TV show about cops going undercover in high schools. Freaking narcs.
21 Jump Street.
Yep.
Jeez. Is it 21 Jump Street?
Yes, it is.
Oh, beautiful. Yeah.
Yes, it is. Hold on. We're going to put you into the drawing as well. You know, we haven't mentioned, and maybe we should have by this point, is that we do have two pair of tickets.
Oh, good deal.
For the, for the Grammys and for the Police rehearsal. So we're going to be able to pick two winners, not just one.
Okay.
All right. Let's go to Isaiah in Los Angeles. Good morning, Isaiah.
Hey, what's going on? Good morning.
Hi, Isaiah.
All right. Here's your question. Oscar nominee Forrest Whitaker was recently a big part of this gritty cable TV show.
I'm not getting it either.
Dragnet.
Ah!
Oh, man.
And man, was he good.
Awesome.
Yeah, he sure was.
Internal Affairs, going after...
Very popular cable cop show. Highly acclaimed.
Had
a lot of awards.
Had the star in our studio.
Show you've heard of.
Gritty.
Isaiah. We're looking for the Shield.
The Shield.
Oh, the Shield.
Detective Vic Mackey. Come on, dude, come on! All right, let's go to Scott in Bell Canyon. Good morning, Scott.
Good morning.
Oh, I smell bacon!
Welcome to the game. Ben Stiller and Owen Wilson recently teamed up in the big screen version of this 70s cop show about two groovy cops and their bitchin' Gran Torino.
Starsky and Hutch.
Okay.
That would be,
Come on!
I know. Just give me 1 second. I'm just processing it. It's early.
Okay, process.
And by that, he means Google.
No, not at all.
All right, you got about 5 seconds. Go.
That was,
Hit TV show in the 70s, big screen, big movie.
Just say it one more time for me, please.
Nope.
Nope.
Oh, come on.
Sorry, too much time. Starsky and Hutch. Starsky and Hutch.
He hung up. He was so disgusted with himself.
He should have. That's the exact thing, right thing he should have done.
So far, Robert and Maria have won tickets, unless somebody else gets on board, in which case we'll do a drawing. We got Julie and La Cunada on the line. Are you ready to smell some bacon with us here, Julie?
Absolutely.
All right, here's your question. Don Johnson was partnered with a black guy in Miami Vice, then moved on to Mexican Cheech Marin in this San Francisco-based TV cop show.
Nash Bridges.
Name of a TV cop show.
Don Johnson.
San Francisco.
On for a number of years in the 80s.
Cheech Marin.
Maybe even 90s. I don't even remember exactly 90s. When it was on, but it's on for a long time and it was popular.
Gonna need an answer. Gonna need
Julie,
an answer.
We tried, baby doll. We tried, but we didn't say Nash Bridges, which is what we wanted to hear.
Nash Bridges, sorry.
We tried, baby doll?
All right, let's do.
Well, Chris?
We tried, baby doll? That was kind of creepy. Creepy alert. Right. Creepy alert.
One more. Let's try to get one more, because okay. Otherwise, what's our drawing? We have two winners.
Yeah, exactly.
There's no drawing involved. Lauren, Anaheim Hills, good morning.
Good morning.
Are you ready for your question?
Yes.
All right, I'm going to try and find the easiest one I can.
Okay. <All right. laughs>
Whether in Las Vegas, Miami, or
CSI.
New York, CSI stands for what?
Anyone?
Crime scene investigation.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's the only one I have even remotely gotten.
Scene investigation.
There you go.
Yes!
Nicely done.
Okay.
All right.
Wow. A little jump in the gun there a bit. All right, we have three people. We have Lauren, we have Maria, and we have Robert.
So, shall we do two drawings for two winners? Shall we do it that way?
Yeah, let's
or
do
should
that.
We do one drawing for the person who doesn't win?
No, I just drew two names. I drew two names.
One drawing for the loser.
It is Maria and Lauren.
All right, Maria, congratulations.
Woohoo! Thanks.
Lauren, congratulations. You both win. You are both going to the Grammys and to see the Police in their rehearsal.
Oh, man.
And thank you very much for playing our new game, I Smell Bacon.
Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Can you name the policeman? What is that smell? Oh, I smell bacon. What is that smell? Oh, I said I smell bacon. What is that smell?
I love that intro. I don't know why. All right, here's another fun song.
The people of our nation don't see no obligation to fix the situation with the elder generation. They stuffing up the nursing homes to overflowing. But the problem keeps growing. People getting jacked for their social security checks. I detect that they don't get no respect. So what you gonna do? A dilemma for the whole crew. Open up your ears, I got an answer for you.
What's that?
Open up your ears, I got an answer for
you. What
you
say?
Open up your ears, I got an answer for you. We got to eat all the old people. Show them that you love them. We got to eat all the old people. Shove them in an oven. We got to eat all the old people. Stick them in a freezer. We got to eat all the old we people. We gonna garnish up a geezer. Gonna hack them, whack them, debone and stack them. 2 by 2 on the barbecue rack. I'm talking Steve McQueen with the Soylent Green. We grinded up the grannies in the granny grind machine. The venerable edibles, the ancient incredible burger. One bite and you know it's not regrettable. The agent, the antiquated, dilapidated. Gonna get processed
and then marinated.
And now we go around. We cleaning up the town. We frying up the golden girls to a golden brown.
We got to eat all the old people.
Show them that you love them.
We got to eat all the old people.
Shove them in an oven.
We got to eat all the old people.
We gonna eat them skin and all.
We got to eat all the old people.
We gonna marinate with Jared.
Talking OLD, a P-E-O-P-L-E. It's always the first, then the worst, till it become a tasty treat. We're talking E-A-T. Here we go, all the O-L-D. Let me hear you say E-A-T.
What you say?
O-L-D. Here we go. We got to eat all the old people. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Here we go. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got to eat all the old people. Come on. We got
boy. Now I think you know exactly how I feel. A sandwich is a sandwich and your grandpa's a meal.
A lot. That one's also an earworm. I heard it, you know, a couple weeks ago, and I'm walking around my store. You got to eat all the old people. Thank God there's nobody in there, but it's just kind of it's stuck in your head.
I wish you were playing that when people were shopping.
Yeah. Can you just imagine Jen singing it as some old couple walks in?
I have another semi-related moment with Chris.
You know, I let me find the creepy alert drop here. Creepy alert, creepy alert, creepy alert.
The fuck was that?
Creepy alert.
That was a moment with Chris.
All right, let's see how this goes.
Give it away, give it away, give it away now. What do you want to know?
Chicken bone,
chicken and a big good doo
doo. You're done.
Nailed it.
Ow, 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 ow. You get it, Edwin. You want her to promote your podcast. We got it.
Say hello to happy goodbye to the blue janky podcast.
The point is that pizza saved his life, Allie. Pizza saved his life.
Guess he's taking another mulligan.
Let's start off with the sad news. Suzanne Summers passed away this week. Growing up, I used to love watching that show. Right, Edwin? You too?
Oh, yeah. Beautiful yeah. girl.
Yeah. That was the show. I was like 5 years old, and I was totally in love with Suzanne Summers. Anyhow, here's Bean talking about Suzanne Summers.
Allie, Suzanne Summers has passed away. What an interesting lady. I have to tell you that I learned a lot about Suzanne Summers over the last couple of days, things that I didn't know. Of course, I knew her as Chrissy on Three's Company. Of course, I knew that she had a lot of success as an actress over the years, right? What was that other show she was in?
Step by Step.
She's the Sheriff was another one, right? She had a very long and successful career. You must have been a Three's Company fan, although those you would have seen it in reruns. You were too young, obviously, when it was on originally. But is that something you grew up watching?
Love Three's Company. I joke with everyone whenever I want to have a cocktail. I'm like, shall we meet at the Regal Beagle? I loved Larry. I loved I dressed as Mrs. Roper. We've talked about that for a party. I loved Three's Company so much. I didn't realize how pervy that show was until much later. Had no idea as a kid. I just thought they were so delightful.
A lot of it went over your head maybe as a kid, and now you're watching it as an adult, and you go, whoa.
Did you ever watch Three's Company, Lindsay?
No.
Jen, you?
Oh, yeah. There was one episode. Jack Ritter, they're at a party, I want to say, on Catalina. And I want to say they flew there. He's afraid to fly, so he took something, and then he was drinking alcohol. It was one of the I remember just laughing out loud as a kid from that particular episode. And so, no, he was very funny. And it was, we watched it every night.
That's the one where he falls down behind the bar and he comes up with the potted plant on his head.
Yeah.
Dancing like, funny. Man, like the, that was hilarious.
Mm-hmm.
It was a very pervy show, though. And watching it as you've grown up, you don't realize all the innuendo, all the things that they were doing and talking about. Just everything about that show was very sexualalized. And I was like, oh, I'll put it on and we'll all watch it together as a family. And no, I'll turn this off right now. Let's stop this thing. Mm-hmm. Everybody was such a really good physical comic on that show. So I think that's why it translated to kids.
And Mr. Roper's big eyeballs. You could open his eyes really wide at things. And that might be a fun one to go back and binge because now you'll get all the jokes.
One of the things about Suzanne Summers that everybody forgets is when she had her contract fight with the network, she was one of the first women that asked for equal pay, and they fired her, and they also vilified her and blacklisted her from all the TV.
Yeah.
She was the number one actress on TV, and she asked for equal or close to equal pay than John Ritter, and they fired her. They straight up just went, no. We're not giving it to you. And then they said that she was money hungry and difficult to work with and all this stuff. And she had to totally rebuild her career.
Well, that's when she did the Thighmaster. And that's when she did all the aerobic and fitness stuff, right?
She did. And she did shows in Vegas. I remember they would always advertise that she had shows in Vegas, and it was so weird to see that she had like this sing and dance review that she did in Vegas. Because back then, if you were working in Vegas, you were pretty much out of Hollywood, right? Now you're, you know, if you're in Vegas, it's like a big deal.
No, to have a residency there where you don't have to travel, everyone comes to you. That's now the dream.
Yeah. Oh yeah. It's changed so much.
She was one of the first actresses I noticed that when she was in her 60s, she looked spectacular. And I'm like, wait, that she shouldn't look that good at that age. So I think she got into her own. She did her own research on health, and whatever she was doing was working.
She forego a lot of treatments for cancer that could have extended her life. And the Cancer Association said, don't follow her. You know, two sides to every coin. All right, let's move on. Taylor Swift and her movie was in the news. Here's Bean talking about going to the movie.
So I was a little bit of a wreck going in there. The anesthesiologist came in, the doctor came in, the nurse came in, then other people came in with other jobs.
It was a huge... this butthole.
And I was kind of looking forward to the propofol because I hear it is the best sleep you ever have. Propofol. It's wonderful, right? The anesthesiologist assistant says, okay, we're going to give you the propofol now. You might feel just a little bit of cold on the top of your... And that's the last thing I heard. I was
on top of my what?
Right. I was out so fast. Like, you're not even aware that you're falling asleep. Wow. It's just like, boom, you're out like that. Yeah. And then 1 second later, I wake up and I'm in the recovery room and it's
Christopher,
all over.
I don't think that was the Taylor Swift movie.
What?
I don't think that was the Taylor Swift. I think that was his colonoscopy.
His colonoscopy? Oh. Maybe the butthole joke should have given away, huh?
So you fall asleep faster at the Taylor Swift concert than you do with propofol.
Yeah. I thought that was one of her songs. Yeah, of course, that's the colonoscopy clip. But he reviewed the movie. He liked it. He loved it. Ralph also went to see it.
I was there. I was there on Friday night. And it's been well documented. I'm no particular fan of Taylor Swift's music.
Sure.
And I always found that her performances lacked any sense of authenticity. It all seemed so polished and so planned and produced. And I'm watching the film and I feel a lot of the same vibes. Everything she said, every offhand remark seemed rehearsed and pre-planned.
Right.
And then it strikes me that that's kind of the point of her, which is her brand of music is so beautifully put together and performed. It's like McDonald's.
Okay.
Well, and I mean that in the best way.
I see what you're saying.
It's like a good product that is beautifully packaged.
Yeah.
And wherever you go to a McDonald's around the world,
you're going to get the same meal.
You're going to get that meal and you're going to be satisfied if you're going in for McDonald's.
Yeah.
And diarrhea. Exactly.
I'm so glad you played that because I also went and saw it and something bothered me through the whole thing. And that's what it was. It's more of a product than music to me. She was performing a character. Ralph put it succinctly. That's what it was. It's more of a performance than it is a concert.
My generation, back in my day, you know, you'd go to a live show and you'd kind of expect the unexpected. The thing that the last people didn't see, you get to see and you get to talk about. You know, did you see when they performed this song? And they're like, no, they didn't do it in that show. And it was just more of a kind of an organic thing where you had something special at each show. But this one, it seems like everything is crafted down to the last thing. And while I guess that's something people look for, it's something that bothers me because I like improvisation. I like jazz. I like things that just are completely different. I like not hearing the same thing over and over again.
Exactly.
I guess that's my thing. Yeah.
No, that's what Dave Matthews has said for decades, is that you can buy the album and you can hear what's on the album anytime. But when you come for a live experience, you want to see where the song goes and flows and changes and do other things with it. So,
yeah. And it was just depressing to hear Ralph talk so fondly of the experience.
I will say this, though. If I liked Taylor Swift, well, this goes for anyone we're a fan of. If you like the person, you kind of give them that leeway. I mean, everybody's performing. You go to any concert, they're performing. So why is it I didn't buy Taylor Swift, but if I went to a concert of someone I liked, I'd buy it. So it could be me. I will admit that.
Isn't tickets for the actual concert like $1,500? Or is a movie tickets maybe $15-$20? So maybe it's just to kind of reach all the people that can't afford to go to a show.
Oh, yeah. She's getting as much money as she can out of this. She's never going to do a Las Vegas residency. She's never going to need the money to do that.
I will say, as far as the production values, it was spectacular. I mean, there was video playing on the floor and on the walls, and they had sets. It was unbelievable. So I actually, if she went to Vegas and did that Sphere, you know, that new thing, the Sphere, it would be a natural. Because that part of it just blew my mind.
I don't know. I'm with Kevin. Kevin got the opportunity to go to the show, and he said no. So Kevin's my last holdout. And while Ralph let me down, he did kind of showed his true colors at the movie.
It was the 50-year-old women who showed up half in the bag.
Oh, no.
So they came in, no kids, nobody in tow, all these wannabe Real Housewife types.
Yeah.
Done up. With two glasses each of cheap Chardonnay, just getting plowed, singing at the top of their lungs.
Oh, they were singing during the movie?
Then at one point, a group of about six of them got up and walked to the platform area of where the seating was and decided to have a conversation.
During the movie?
Top of their lungs to be heard over Taylor Swift singing Shake It Off.
It's not ruining Olivia's experience.
Not at all. Well, she's good. fixated on the screen. She's taking every moment into her DNA.
Well, that's good.
Locked in. But I'm losing my mind. So about 2 hours in, my kid gets up to go to the bathroom.
That's the other thing. About 2 hours in. When he said that, I had lost track of what he had said, continuing. But 2 hours into this movie.
How long's the movie?
How long's the movie, Edwin?
It was 2 hours and 45 minutes.
Oh,
it's funny. My wife conned me into going, and then she ducked out. She said, I got to go. I got to take care of my friend. So I went with her friends. And on the way, she texts me, I heard the movie's 3 hours. I'm like, holy crap. I hope not.
Yeah. I'm over here getting dinner. I'll see you at the end of the show.
Yeah, right.
And I said, this is my opportunity. And I got up and I went up to these fucking women. And I said, can you please shut up? I'm trying to watch this movie. And this one mouthy one comes up to me and says, we're at a concert. And I said, no, see, you're not at a concert. You're in a fucking movie theater. You and your friends are chirping at the top of your lungs 4 feet behind me, and I'm trying to watch a movie. Well, go someplace else. I was like, no, I don't have to go someplace else. I bought these seats. Well, we paid for our seats, too. I was like, good. Why don't you go fucking use them and sit down. Sit your ass down and watch the movie like the rest of us.
Livy had no idea.
And she came back from the bathroom and sat down, and we all went on with our lives.
I just wish Ralph would have gotten in a fight with those women.
Yes.
Ralph Garman gets in fight at Taylor Swift concert movie. That would have been the best headline ever.
Ralph loses drunk boxing to 50-year-old women at Taylor Swift movie.
Oh, my goodness.
And that's the other thing. They're all running around. They're singing at the top of their lungs. I would die. Anyhow, speaking of, I'm just going to play this Frank clip. Here we go.
I take notes on my neighbor's name sometimes. If I meet somebody new, you know, yeah. I just write it down. I don't, and then I lose the paper that I wrote it down on. But it helps me remember.
The act of writing it down, I think, is a great thing.
Yeah. You good?
No, I'm not.
Oh, no. What happened?
I forgot to turn that part on.
Well,
okay.
I guess today is the day we test the backup audio.
It's a good thing we put it out there.
Oh, I feel so dumb. Well, I was going to tell more stories, but maybe we'll just wrap the episode.
And yeah, see how it sounds. And
yeah.
Yeah.
Dang, Nevin.
Save the.
I was so embarrassed about screwing up the audio on Sarah's episode. And now I screwed up the audio on this one.
Well, we have backup, so it's going to be perfect.
No, it'll be mediocre at best.
It's okay, Frank. Mediocre at best is what we shoot for around here.
Yep.
That's our top.
I really felt bad for Frank. He forgot to, while talking about things to trigger your memory, he remembered that he forgot to turn on the microphones. And you just hear it there where he just freezes. And you see it on the video on YouTube. And you just see his face. And I felt bad for him. Truly, truly felt bad for him. But it was hilarious at the same time. All right. Let's go over to the Ralph Report. Ralph gives us an interesting question. Folk music versus Red Hot Chili Pepper music.
I just can't.
Okay. So you're in a room, right?
I just can't.
And they're trying to get information out of you.
Oh, my God.
And you're tied to a chair.
Yeah.
And then they either start playing that folk music or Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh.
On a loop.
Ooh.
When do you give in faster?
Oh, Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
More than folk music?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because it's much more grating. It's louder and it's...
And you're like, whatever you want to know.
Whatever you want to know.
Whatever you want to know.
At least this, hang down your head. You can kind of like sway to it a little bit. I could hold out. I could hold out with folk music. But
you're done. You're giving all the secrets.
Oh, it's just vomiting up all kinds of information. The minute, give it away, give it away, give it away.
Whatever you want to know. Make it stop.
God.
So what do you guys think? Folk music or Red Hot Chili Peppers? What would you take?
Music.
Really?
I think so, yeah.
I'm still into the Chili Peppers, even though they were overplayed on K-Rock. They're not bad.
They were overplayed, and after like 91, everything sounded exactly like that one album, and it just was never good. I don't know.
Well, and the thing is, when was the last time you heard any folk music? What was he singing? He was a hang your head down. What was that song?
Yeah, something from
Tom Dooley, The Ballad of Tom
Dooley. Yeah. We haven't heard folk music since grade school. So it would sound fresh. That's why I would pick folk music.
Fresh? Really?
Fresh.
It would seem that way. I'm not saying that it is. It was just, I still hear the Chili Peppers. Every time I put Spotify on at the store, I can't get away from Chili Peppers. So even if I'll put on like 70s rock or something, somehow Chili Peppers gets in there. I'm like, how is this possible?
Yeah. Like rock music from the 60s. Here we go. Give it away now.
Yes. Or no, I'll get Higher Ground because that was more in the 80s.
Yeah.
So I don't. Yeah. Close my mind.
That one still I can listen to. But after that, I can't really. I'll never put it on. But if it comes on the radio, I'll be like, this was when they were good. The good old days.
And then there's a song by Smashing Pumpkins, and there's a song by Red Hot Chili Peppers. The intros sound the same. And I want to say, is it, I don't remember which one it is. But you're like, oh, you hear the intro, you're like, oh, sweet, Smashing, oh, shit, Red Hot Chili Peppers. Damn it, every time. Every time it gets me.
It doesn't happen to me because I changed it for both. No Smashing Pumpkins, no Chili Peppers.
Christopher's got a system.
I got a system, yeah.
Cupid, no music. Something on the Smashing Pumpkins. Cupid Rock or something like that? That intro and the Red Hot Chili Peppers.
I got another jingle this week.
Hola, Ali and Bean. It's Chris from Quitters Never Give Up.
I really was tired when I did
this. Very enthusiastic.
Sounds like it.
You can hear. Let me skip forward.
Tell me to put it on. Ali, here goes my jingle. Personal minutiae time.
Background vocals.
Personal minutiae time. Personal minutiae time.
Outstanding, Christopher.
Question.
Yeah.
We've heard from Christopher doing jingles before.
We have.
I have to say that this is the question they ask every time they realize that I've submitted a jingle.
Yeah, he's the Omar of the Quitters Never Give Up podcast.
Omar. Yes.
Is he allowed to transfer jingles to save friends in the audience, other teabaggers? Or is it you do a personal minutia, even if we play you a couple times, or do we then extend him another year?
I didn't even follow that question. I need to see that mapped out. Yeah.
Okay.
So he's done
multiple personal minutia jingles.
Right.
Is he allowed to give one away and say, Sally over in Tuskegee?
Everyone. No.
If we have a listener named Sally in Tuskegee, I'm going to be stunned. That is the whitest possible name for Tuskegee, Alabama. No, I think every teabagger is responsible for his or her own jingle, I think.
So since he's done multiple, does he then get to transfer that to 2024?
Well, you told me you only have to do one and then you're set for life. Remember?
He's done multiples.
They're bonuses. They're just extras. Okay. That's all they are. They're just for the good of the nation. That's
glad
all.
We got
anyway,
through that.
That was great, Christopher. Thank you very much.
Edwin, can I get your slide whistle sound effect?
Beep.
All right. Beep. Sally called during the next podcast.
We played that jingle from Chris, and we had that whole conversation about whether you could just leave one personal Minutia jingle, and then your subscription would be secure forever, or if you had to re-up for a year. And then you were asking about that specific jingle. What if he transfers it to, say, Sally in Tuskegee? And I mocked you, Allie, as saying, why would you pick the whitest of all possible names in the blackest of all possible cities, right? Tuskegee, Alabama. Well, I owe you an apology. I was wrong because Sally was listening.
Hi, I'm Sally from Tuskegee here. And Chris and I were both under the impression that his personal Minutia jingle would transfer over to me. So if you could just make sure that my subscription doesn't get canceled, that would be great. Thank you so much. Keep up the work. Bye.
So I was wrong. I was wrong. Yes. Yeah, so make a note that to her, she is safe.
Thank you.
Sorry, Omar of the group. So that means I get to transfer my jingles now. New policy in place.
Very excited. Very excited for you.
Yeah. So now I'm just going to open up my business, sell jingles for, you know, $10 a pop. How much should I sell jingles for? It takes me about 15 minutes to do them. I don't know.
How about $19.95?
I think 1995. Yeah, there you go.
Make some bank that way.
There you go. 69.69.
69.69.
Hey, you know what? You know how they always you say that they never remember you? Maybe that's why you get so many jingles on. They're like, hey, yeah, this new guy, Christopher, he's pretty good.
And then they always have the same conversation afterwards. Are his jingles transferable? No, they're not. Really? No, they're not. Okay. No, they're not. But then Sally cleared it up for us. Thank you, Sally. Well, that's been the podcast roundup. This is the Omar of the group. Now it's time for the week that was.
Oh, wait. It's the Kev dog of the group. Hold on. Christopher's driving away. Oh, that was good. Hold on.
And then the next message is from Javi. Oh, no, wait. What about the butt? He said. What's going on here? Okay. I should have rehearsed this. Sorry. Again, Energizer Liz says, I like the introduction on this episode.
Nice work.
That's it? Okay.
One more.
All right. And lastly on Janky Town. Edwin got a call. It is hotter than balls in this fucking house. I have to fix this AC right now. So
speed up.
We're going. Here we go. Janky Town, Edwin's call.
Here you go.
In my defense, it was hotter than balls that day. And a lot of times I'll get messages, especially when at that day, from my wife, like, it is hot. Fix it. Something. Do something. We're leaving.
Okay, now we'll go to the week that was.
Press the button, my friend. Send me back into time.
Edwin!
No, Edwin.
Oh,
right.
I'm sorry.
One, two, three.
It's a new day.
Our feature presentation.
Week 12. 2012. I don't mind.
What would you like me to do to you?
Welcome, kiddies. We're doing the week that was October 16 to 20, 2012. Let's start off with a Lisa May commercial. You know I love those.
Stand up, Clipper Nation. Be a part of the passion, the heart, dedication, and excitement. Be a part of the thrill. Single game tickets on sale now at clippers.com or by calling 800-4-NBA-TICKS. Represent! I'm Lisa May with K-Rock Traffic.
No. What? What just happened?
What did just happen?
What?
She just shouted represent for some odd reason. It's bizarre.
What is I have going Clipper on? Passion.
Lisa, you're the best.
You can imagine how torn I was. Lovely Lisa May doing a commercial for the Clippers.
Represent!
Yeah, they used that drop for a while. What was her name when she was on the on Power, like doing traffic? Judy Starbuck, something like that?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She could have used that when she was doing her Judy Starbuck voice. This was interesting. They did some kind of scientific study about the worst sounds. Well, we know the cliche is nails on a chalkboard. But this was weird because they like made up things that never really happened.
Do you? Because yeah. I would not have been able to guess. What do you think number one is?
It is Yoko Ono singing.
Well, I probably didn't consider that.
Yeah, that was Lisa's guess. It should have been Yoko Ono.
Loco Ono?
Loco Ono. That's her Mexican sister, yeah.
Or Loco.
Let's see what number one is on the most unpleasant sounds in the world.
That clip's mine. I sent it to Bean. So that's the most annoying sound in the world. That's me taking credit for a drop that no one cares about. That's for Miss Mischief. Okay, no, this is what really happened.
Let's see what number one is on the most unpleasant sounds in the world.
I myself am a drummer, so and I've been lucky to.
I don't think anybody is surprised by that. Beer mug is the worst sound in the world. No, really, the worst sound in the world. Again, not something you're likely to ever find. But this is how long could you listen to this? By the way, this is Guantanamo ready. This is a knife on a bottle.
Seems like a Why do people put those things on bottles? What about a knife on a plate? Isn't that bad
what
enough?
About a knife on a person?
You tell me if either of those are worse than a knife on a bottle.
Oh. Yeah, that's really
wow. Cool.
That is.
Because you just have that physical.
All right, already. Not sexy. That is
Why
not,
are people doing that with bottles?
I don't know.
Stop it.
But I do know that it's not good.
Yeah, that was annoying. Like I said, it was some kind of study where they figured out what sounds bothered people the most. I'd never heard of a knife on a bottle before, but it was number one. Let's go to the Million Muppet March. This was during the presidential campaign, and Mitt Romney said he wanted to cut the funding for PBS. So that got Kermit all mad.
You know a lot about this. Were you watching the debate?
Well, you know, I work for PBS, you know.
Right.
So, you know, you have to know how your own business works. I mean, I'm sure you guys know how your business works.
Not much, no.
Badly, that's all I know.
So we're all going to be marching and, you know, trying to make a point. You know, I'll be there. And, hey, Grover, you want to come over here?
Oh, Grover's there? Oh, Grover, nice.
Hello, Kevin and Bean, how are you?
Good, how are you, Grover?
And I, Grover.
Right. Yeah. are you looking forward to the March on Washington?
Yes. I would also like to kick Mitt Romney in the balls.
Oh, I
well,
see.
I don't know that it needs to get physical or violent.
Okay, that's...
Yeah, waka waka. Hi, Kevin and me, Fozzie Bear.
Fozzie, how are you?
Hey, I got a joke for you guys.
Okay.
A conservative, a moderate, and a liberal walk into a bar. And the bartender says, hi, Mitt. Says he flip flops a lot. Waka waka.
Well done, bro. Right,
Cookie Monster.
Cookie.
Okay, we understand. We understand. Cookie Monster is pretty much just here for the free cookies. I don't think he really has a political agenda. Yeah, we know you want cookies, Cookie Monster.
I'm gonna grade as the Muppet expert here. I'm gonna grade Ralph. That Kermit was a C+. The Fozzie Bear sounded just like the Kermit, so I'm giving him a D on that one. The Grover was good. I'll give him a B+. Cookie Monster, A.
I thought the Cookie Monster was just a drop. Because he didn't say anything other than cookie.
Could be. Well, either way, okay, if it's the real drop, then for sure it's an A. And if it was Ralph, that was good.
Okay.
Crazy Lady came back. Boy, I love her. I was thinking nobody got more Afro calls played, and they turned her calls into drops. Except for maybe Sam, Santa Monica Sam. So this is one of the first times I remember her kind of blowing the line.
Who wants to hear more Crazy Woman?
Me.
I love her so much.
It has been determined by the police that Harvey Levin of TMZ has been successfully perverted by the Nazis.
What did she say? I missed that one.
Harvey Levin has been successfully perverted by the Nazis.
Yeah, she broke up in her own call. Usually she was really straight on. She was really good at this.
Just ruined my perspective. I thought that was a real call. I thought she was really crazy. Damn.
Well, we need to get her on. We got to advertise her on the Teabagger page or the social club and see if she's out there.
Find out who the crazy lady is?
Yeah, I want her on the show. This was an Opera Line segment, so they had other people doing impressions of her.
Barack Obama came down on his spaceship and asked me to go with him to Pluto. I said, no, sir. No, sir. No one touches this pretty flower.
Got a lot of crazy lady impressions.
Man,
they
pretty good.
Seem to love her, and they seem to have her down.
Charles Manson needs a male and a female on the outside. And would like to Mick Jagger in at this time.
Pretty good.
That sounded, was that the real lady, or was that was an
that
impression?
That was, oh, an, wow. That was an impression.
Okay.
Another one?
Eating a donut doesn't mean that a doctor will not get a speeding ticket from a parking control officer.
It's an excellent point.
He makes as much sense, that's for sure. Crazy woman again.
Well, Fran Zell must have thought it was funny when dentist Mark Cohen shouted across the market to me that he wanted to f*** me and then f*** my mother.
It was getting sexy for just a second there.
Now, wait, is that the real one?
Yes,
that's the real one.
Yes.
Now I don't believe the lure anymore. No.
I love it because the listeners are so good.
Yeah, I think Kevin was wrong in the middle. The one he said was an impression, I think, was the real crazy lady.
I mean, how would he know for sure?
Yeah, exactly. The interesting thing was this was the Afro call segment from a Tuesday. Friday, they did another Afro call segment, all crazy lady calls. So like I said, she got a lot of airtime. Let's move on. We had Chuck Lorre came into the studio. Or no, he called in to do an interview. You remember on Two and a Half Men, those little vanity cards? He would always write something different on each one. And I think he put them together into a book. So he came on the show to promote it.
One of the most successful TV producers and writers of all time. Three shows on the air right now. Mike and Molly, Big Bang Theory, Two and a Half Men. Hi, Chuck. Welcome to the show, man.
Thanks.
I can't believe you have time to even poop, much less do radio interviews with as busy as you are with three shows on the air. You must have a pretty crazy schedule.
So we're starting with pooping, right? That's where this is going to start with?
Well,
all right.
Yes.
Yeah. Terrific.
That's as good as we got, man.
See, this is what morning radio has turned into, man. You don't know.
Wow. Terrestrial radio right in the toilet.
So he didn't seem all that thrilled about Kevin and Bean. Let's jump forward into the interview and see if they win him back at the end.
One of them is your apology to your dad.
You read that one.
That's pretty complete.
Yeah.
You take a you apologize for a lot of things.
Yeah. Well, you know, I mean, I don't know how you did as a teenager. I didn't do well.
I was an a-hole.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah. In fact, that is exactly the word. So you have to say that. You have to abbreviate it.
Don't have to.
Okay. Yeah. That's exactly. Looking back on what I did to him as a teenager, it seemed appropriate to write down that apology.
Apologize on network TV is a nice way to apologize.
Just let it fly by so he can't see it. I like that. Hey, I apologize to you, Dad, for 1 second in last night's episode.
Yeah. No, he had passed away a long time ago.
Oh, okay.
So it was sort of a in memoriam kind of apology.
Kevin has the worst luck bringing up people's dads. But once again, he brought up the dad. Oh, yeah, he's dead. Now, the best thing about Kevin and Bean messing up with Chuck Lorre was Ralph getting on their case afterwards.
To self, never ask people about their dad.
Your dad like that thing, right?
He's been dead for some time now.
He wrote an apology to him, so I figured maybe he was alive.
But it was his way of expressing his feelings for 1 second on a vanity card. If he was alive, he wouldn't just put a 1 second apology up at the end of some sitcom.
What if his dad watched and knew it was...
And had really quick eyes?
No, he pauses it. Come on. That's ridiculous. But don't ask people about that.
We shouldn't be allowed to interview anybody. I think that's what we're learning today here.
You hardly have time to poop, Bean said.
That's worse. Talking to Mr. Lorre, he did not enjoy talking to us. So that's probably
talking to us. I
don't blame him. You're awful.
Yeah, sorry guys. I don't think they ever got Chuck Lorre on the show again.
In Kevin's defense, he put it in a book. And Kevin's reading through the book and is like, oh, this is a really heartfelt apology. You could have put on there, and he's dead now.
That's our tip for today, kids.
R.I.P. you know, my dad, here's the apology I wrote to him on a little title card that was like 50 seconds and you'd have to like zoom in to read it. But he's dead now.
I got a kick out of that. Chuck Lorre, I don't think he's a big fan of Kevin and Bean, especially then, after that.
And then that's a top-notch question or observation that he doesn't have time to poop. That works. That's excellent.
And from being it from all people, because he hated that kind of humor.
I hate scatological humor.
Let's jump to the Thursday Open. Don't adjust your sets. This is not a mistake on my sound clip. It's going to be a long pause here.
Are we going to start?
I think that's a good start. I'm happy with that. I like the way that started.
Well, it's different. It's something we don't normally do. We're trying to shake things up. We meant to do that.
Right.
And we might do it again if we want to.
We don't know. We haven't decided yet.
Yeah.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show. It is Thursday. It is the 18th of October. What's happening, everybody?
Not much.
Muggs, put my headphones where they're supposed to be, if you would. Muggs is king of the freeze, I'll tell you that.
Well,
man, when stuff doesn't go the way it's supposed to.
At least he isn't running around panicking, screaming.
No.
Yeah, that was the aborted first take. What happened was they were supposed to start the show, Bean dropped off, and everyone's just sitting there. So finally they got Bean back on, and they kind of picked it up from the top again.
We can pretend none of this happened and start the show right now if you want.
Take two.
Hispanic owned and operated.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy.
4, 5, 6.
VIG.
Reminder, hope everybody got their flu shots. And Rite Aid, a lot of places are actually giving them out, like $20-25. Just show up and you get a flu shot, but you gotta pay $20 or $25, but it's first come, first serve.
94.3, it's KMGX Magic FM, the station that's growing faster than ever. And that, of course, is thanks to you and your friends. Lisa May here, it's been awfully nice. I will be out of here at 3 o'clock. And, of course, Bob Taylor comes in, so watch out. He'll be taking you through right till 7. So have a great afternoon and keep it here at Magic FM.
And now,
Lisa, let them loose. Shake them for freedom, shake them for freedom, let them loose, let them hang out. And shake them for freedom, Lisa, come on, Lisa, me.
Our feature presentation.
So they've got the opening to play, and then they play the Lisa Magic FM clip. So that got them talking about the great Magic FM. Listen to Lisa slide right into that voice.
I love to hear Lisa on Magic.
That's my FM voice. That thank you for voice. Listening.
That's a phone sex voice.
Yeah. Yes, what would you like me to do to you?
Bob's coming up at 3, so watch out.
Watch out for Bob. He's a funny one.
That guy can be nutty.
Oh, my God. Bob at a party, you wouldn't believe it.
It does sound like you took a downer. They gave you lewds before.
Well, you know.
Yeah.
So good. Just the right into that soft, silky voice. That's her FM voice, she said. I love hearing that. Next up, we got Rachel Nichols coming on the show. You know, Bean loves her. Taking all bets. How long until it gets creepy? What do you guys say?
2 seconds.
2 seconds. Okay.
I said 2 seconds.
Oh, sorry. Didn't hear you.
It was just funny because I was muted. That's all.
2.1 seconds.
Okay.
Okay. Let's see what happened.
I have a very sort of sexy scene with Ed Burns in this. And just when it, yeah. Oh, I finally get a bell. Yeah. It took that long to get one ding.
I think
really.
He likes Ed Burns.
That was for Ed Burns.
That was Ed Burns.
We've mentioned you a lot. Never got the bell.
Ed Burns. Ed Burns. Ding. Yeah, we have a sexy scene. So it's really awkward when there's a theater at the Arclight filled with people and there you are. You know,
you're sort of naked.
Sort of naked.
Yeah, exactly. Now you whipped out on boobies in Conan the Barbarian, right?
Those boobs were real and they were fantastic, and they were not mine.
Yeah, you had stunt boobs in that one.
I had stunt boobs.
Is that going to be your policy, or is it going to be depending on project to project?
really being.
Yeah. I'm, no, I'm just curious.
Oh, he is. Creepy
alert. I'm not being creepy at all.
Oh, yeah. If she, if those were her boobs, they'd be on your computer for the rest of
the time. I would like to congratulate Bean for taking this long to get creepy.
I was just wondering if you have a no nudity policy.
Creepy alert. Or if I have a father that I love very, very much.
So when he dies.
Oh, that's a terrible thing
to
say.
Wow. No, I'm not saying I want
that
to happen.
We're trying to wrap things up here, Bean, and everything was going so well.
Now the dead father.
I mean, if the role really called for it, I would be amenable to it. But as of right now, I have a father who I do love very, very much, and he does not need anybody seeing my boobs.
Okay,
on
fair
the
enough.
Screen. So totally I'm going to keep those under wraps.
I think that's fine. I respect that.
Are you
sure
you think
decision.
That's fine, Bean?
I do. Really? I respect.
Are you going to go home
they're
and cry
real, they're
now?
They're fantastic. I'm keeping them to myself.
It is kind of a waste cell. All right.
Creepy alert. This is new.
The creepy
you
alert?
Guys did not have the creepy alert
that's
last
That's correct.
Time
and he
here.
Keeps setting it off. But again, it took him a long time to get to it. So.
I think I did very well
I
today,
too.
Ladies and gentlemen, by the way. Thank you.
Considering.
Bean got three creepy alerts in that one segment.
Damn. That's not a record, though.
Yeah. For Bean, that's just an average day. And, of course, what's the best thing? It's for Ralph to kind of wrap it up and go at Bean.
Time for our final look at the showbiz beat. Not just for the day, but for the week.
When are you going to show us your boobs?
What about your cans? What's your policy on your cans?
When do those boobs come out? When your dad's dead?
Was it like that
Jeez
at all? Jesus
crackers.
Was it like that at all?
It was
You're
a little
mischaracterizing.
Like that. It was a lot like that. And she's like, okay, I have to go now. Poor Rachel Nichols.
She was in a hurry to leave. I did see the smoke.
Can't imagine why.
That's some good stuff there. Then in that showbiz beat, the last one, Sylvia Kristel, she was an actress who played Emmanuel. These were a bunch of R-rated sex movies in the, I guess, the 70s. And he found a reason to go back and mock Bean a little bit more.
And that woman was a Dutch actress, Sylvia Kristel. She was known as Emmanuel in the legendary Emmanuel films of the 70s, a very erotic series of films that was pushing the envelope for its time.
That's hot.
And it was, and it's still pretty hot, quite frankly. She was 21 years old when she got the role of Emmanuel. She was actually going to audition for a commercial for clothes soap, detergent.
And Bean was the
agent? The casting director.
See the cans. How about your boobs? When do those come out? When's your dad going to die?
And he immediately cast her as Emmanuel in a series of films.
Why is she in the news, Ralph?
Passed away.
Slow down, Bean.
She passed away.
We're having fun.
60 years old. It's a rush. She was pulled into the audition. She says, the director asked me to take my dress off. Luckily, it was an easy dress to take off. It had spaghetti straps. I just slipped over my shoulders, and it just fell off. I carried on talking and smoking in the nude. She got the role just like that.
It does work that way.
Sounds like an interview for a housekeeping position at Bean's house.
Let's see the boobs.
Yeah, how about the boobs?
What's your policy?
I'm sorry, Bean. I mean, I'm a huge fan of Bean. I am Bean in a lot of ways, but that's funny. I don't care who you are. And that's gonna... Wait. Bean's back.
Creepy alert.
I'm not being creepy at all.
So that was the week that was... October 16th to 2012. Back to you, Steve.
All right. Goodbye,
everybody. Goodbye, everybody.
How does that guy remember any of his lyrics when they're singing live? Because none of it goes in. It's like you're telling a story. And the lyrics don't go into it. They don't mean anything. It's just ozone and bat phone.
Sometimes it is pure nonsense.
Just random words on a page. How can he get up in front of people without reading them and be able to remember what he's supposed to sing?
I don't know. You're asking the wrong guy about
that
memory.
It must be just so difficult to memorize those lyrics to perform live. I was thinking that. It's like, he must not know what comes after another thing. It's like, oh, down in front of four, Micah, going to put my Fontas Pica. Just stuff. Just stuff. Comes
Maybe
out.
Heroin gives you a great memory.
Let's find out. Someone get me some black tar heroin, please.
Let's have Bean do it.
All right.
Are we
we still doing that? Not today. Not today. We went.
Not today. It's a mental health day. We need to figure next that one
time.
Out.
Janky Town. What the hell is that, man? I don't have no time for no junk, Janky Town.
Time for go to bed.
Sam, you don't have to
Sam,
do that.
Sam. Here. Goodbye.
This has been a Quitters Never Give Up presentation.
Wow. Terrestrial radio right in the toilet.